I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Vehicles? That's the prediction here. How do you keep that, well, peaceful and on track? That's a lot of trucks.
Well, the people that have organized this are the same people that went to California to D.C. with the truckers. I understand we're going to be joined by Canadian truckers. So these people are committed to a peaceful demonstration that we've had enough. The American people have had enough. We're demanding that the Biden administration do its job, enforce the laws on the books, and secure our border. 8 million people during the Biden administration, that's more than the population of Ohio. This is the time for us to rise up as the American people and demand that our president do his job.
Well, good luck with that. That is Texas Congressman Keith Self on Fox News as they're talking about a 700,000, at least 700,000 massive truckers going to our southern border. Now, exactly what they're going to do and in what order, that's not clear yet. They can't all drive right to the edge of the border in the Rio Grande. They'd all be sinking into the sand and everything else. But it's going to be a display to certainly call attention to how bad this is in this nation. You know it's bad. I know it's bad. Everybody knows it's bad, even on the Democrats. They know it's bad. But nothing's being done about it. Will this really change anything? I wouldn't put money on it, and yet at the same time, it could be such a move that Biden feels I've got to do something. And he also knows he needs to do something because even in New Hampshire, when surveyed, those voting said their prime concern, even in New Hampshire, was immigration, illegal immigration. There are more to come on that story coming up. First of all, thank you for joining us. Here we are, January 26, 2024. First hour, Larry Connors USA. 2 hours back-to-back for you every Monday through Friday. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video for you to watch. If you can't watch immediately, you can pull it up and do it later. I see many of you do. I appreciate it. You can see it at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube. Or you can go to Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, no YouTube. But you can also see it again at Larry Connors USA Facebook. If you miss it, you can always go back and pull it at that location or LarryConnorsUSA.com. We're always available for you. Pull it up, view it, share it. Share it, send it to others. And say, you got to be listening to this, and you got to see this, because we're going to give it to you direct and straight. I'm not going to be a total 100% blind following Donald Trump. I will call him out when I see things wrong. But right now, he is the one we need to lead the nation again. I'd like to get back to what we had when he was in office. Stop and think for 1 second. 1 second. If he had been able to continue what he had already started, we wouldn't have this mass influx of numbers ranging from 7 to 11 to 12 million illegals in the nation. We wouldn't have all these illegals that are also possibly terrorists or criminals or members of the Chinese government coming to form a fifth column behind our ranks inside our borders. None of that would be going on. And we might not have Russia going into Ukraine, and we might not have Iran and its proxies going crazy, firing missiles everywhere, and the October 7 attack. Now, a lot of that is speculation, but all I do know is that we didn't have any of it happening when Trump was in office. We were respected. Not so much now. All right, I've got a few housekeeping things I need to go through. And when I say housekeeping, I don't want you to take it that it's not important. These are very important. Listen up to this, please. First of all, tomorrow morning on the Dr. Randy Tobler Show, He's going to be focusing on the Missouri Senate Majority Leader decision and push to expel a member, a fellow Republican, to expel a fellow Republican. That would be Bill Eigel with Freedom Caucus. This comes after GOP leadership in the Senate. I hate to put the word GOP even with these guys, but they have also previously stripped four caucus members, Freedom Caucus members, of chairmanships and parking spots. Why? Well, I think just because they put their name on the Freedom Caucus. Now, he is going to have a guest to explain it in more detail. I just got a latest message from him. Let me turn to this, make sure I've got it right, because times have changed as to what they wanted to do. First of all, at 8:10 tomorrow morning, he is going to have the Senate Majority Leader Cindy O'Loughlin, and she is going to go into some of the details of what they've done and what they plan on doing. His plan was to immediately have, after that, Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer following her, but because of some personal issues, Nick can't go after, so now he is going to go on. I'm trying to find the most recent time check I got from email from Randy. Randy, I got it right here. Give me 1 second. I just want to make sure I get it right. He is going to come on after actually, he's going to come on before he has the state Senate leader, or the majority leader, I should say. She is going to be at 8:10, but Schroer cannot go on afterwards because of another thing he's got going, so he is going to be on the preceding hour. And the latest time I've been getting from Randy would be Dr. Tobler, I should say, he will be doing it at 7:25. He's on at 7:25, and then she will come on at 7:10. You don't want to miss that. That's tomorrow. You never want to miss the Randy Tobler show anyway. Always great in many ways. Now, another point I want to bring up to you. Also starting Monday night at 8 o'clock, immediately following Larry Connors USA, the Rob Carter Show will premiere, airing from 8 to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, just like we do 6 to 8. Rob is, of course, a St. Louis native, very strong conservative. He will be the newest addition to the News Talk STL lineup. Conservatives, all of us patriots, we mix serious issues with fun and always, always engaging radio. So, tomorrow morning, Dr. Randy Tobler and his guest, and then starting Monday night, as soon as we wrap up, you'll be listening to Rob Carter. So put those down in your notes. Book it. Book it. All right, now back to the Texas illegal issue. First of all, let me give you a report as filed by Fox News on the Texas update.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott refusing to give up control of the Texas border to federal officials, ignoring the administration's deadline to get access to Shelby Park by keeping federal agents out. That deadline is today. Instead, Abbott is installing more razor wire following the Supreme Court's decision allowing federal agents to remove it. Texas now receiving support from 25 Republican governors, all backing Abbott's border actions while blaming the Biden administration for the crisis. Former President Trump wants to take it one step further, encouraging these states to deploy their National Guardsmen to Texas to prevent illegal crossings.
And again, how can you blame anybody but Biden for this? You have to be absolutely head in the sand and have stopped breathing if you believe something like that. Again, former President Trump is calling on governors all across the nation to use their National Guards to remove the migrants. He put that out on his Truth Social platform. This is, again, as you were hearing from the Fox News report, 25 Republican governors say they will support the Texas standoff. Remember the Alamo! Remember the Alamo! That's not exactly the same, but you want to have some kind of rally call? Let's use that one. Keep in mind that the Biden administration is being blocked and its intents to go into a Shelby Park. That's a state park in Texas. And they're not letting any illegals in. They're putting a way to kind of control them there and putting up this razor wire. Now, yesterday, by court order, Supreme Court order, they had to start lifting the razor wire so some could get under it or cutting it in places. My plan again, my suggestion is, there are a lot of Texas ranch and crop lands that abut each other down around that area. Now, I don't know if their coverage goes all the way to the Rio Grande or if it's considered a federal property area. Probably is as an easement. But I know that if you can't put it on the federal land, those farmers and ranchers, they can all put that barbed wire on their property. And they can say, we're just making sure our cattle don't get loose. They already have fences down there, but not enough to stop illegals coming across. Then you got New York Congresswoman Claudia Tini pointing out exactly how and why we got to this position.
I just want to weigh in from New York. We have a far left liberal governor who just put $2.4 billion more into protecting illegal immigrants in the state of New York. And I just had a roundtable conference with all different types of law enforcement members, including Customs and Border Patrol, because I represent the northern border of New York. And they described to me a situation where so many of them have been displaced to the southern border because of the catastrophe there. And so we are leaving ourselves vulnerable everywhere. And the fact that the Supreme Court is coming down against Texas on this case, we'll see where it ultimately ends up. But Texas is trying to defend its border against a lawless president, a Department of Homeland Security head, Mayorkas, who are refusing to actually implement the laws of the United States, which is what part of the basis for the impeachment of both Joe Biden and Mayorkas is about in the House of Representatives, where we have a very slim majority now, only two-seat majority, you know, really between keeping sanity and the craziness of what's happening in the Biden administration.
Yep, she's right. And she points out that Biden killed something like 64 laws to basically open the doors for the illegals. And yet here comes the cry from the left, which is so inane. On Katie Turr reports last night, Congressman Jim Himes of Connecticut, Democrat, stated, "We cannot have uncontrolled migration across the border. That is not acceptable. We see that here in New York City. Uncontrolled migration does put downward pressure on wages. But this is the one issue, the only issue, Republicans have against President Biden." It's not the only issue, but if you want to stick to that, go right ahead. Just go ahead and try that. Now, that brings us to some of the support and endorsements for Joe Biden. And these things, they evaporate like cotton candy in your mouth. And I will give you an example. Let's begin with previously the United Auto Workers President, Sean Fain. We endorse Biden.
And this choice is clear. Joe Biden bet on the American worker while Donald Trump blamed the American worker. We need to know who's going to sit in the most powerful seat in the world and help us win as a united working class. So if our endorsements must be earned, Joe Biden has earned it.
Yeah, yeah, he's earned it. Yeah, he made that statement. Again, Sean Fain, the UAW president, admitting that you're going to earn our endorsement, and Joe Biden has earned our endorsement, he said. And then, well, looky here. This story coming out in an interview he did with Neil Cavuto, Fox Business News. He admitted, this is the UAW president. He admitted, and I'm quoting, "A great majority of American union workers in the auto industry will not vote for Joe Biden. Will not." And he added, "Look, let me be clear about this. A great majority of our members will not vote for President Biden. Yes, some will, but that's the reality of this. You are the boss of the union. And you say, we endorse Joe Biden. And yet you know the majority of your members do not? Where do you think you're going to be the next election round? He said the majority of our members are going to vote with their paychecks. They're going to vote for an economy that works for them. They're not going to vote for a president. When you look at these two presidents, the choice is very clear about which one stands up with working class and stands up with labor, and which one stands with a billionaire class, and that's his base. These remarks he made immediately after endorsing Biden for re-election earlier against Trump. As Trump was to the side, and everybody's watching Biden push the green energy agenda, which would crush the American industry, auto industry, plant closures, outsourcing, millions of jobs lost, plus Biden's record on trade in China. So the union president says, you're going to have to earn our endorsement. You've got it. Not really. And now he's not the only example of that happening. For instance, the president of the League of American Workers was speaking back in May 9 again with Neil Cavuto.
Now, remember when former Trump campaign advisor Steve Cortez announced this on our show? Roll tape.
I'm backing Governor Ron DeSantis for president and just joined his pack, his aligned pack, Never Back Down. The idea of a rematch of Biden versus Trump is something this country overwhelmingly does not want. It is a movie that we have already seen. Nobody liked it. And we know the ending.
We know the ending. And I need to correct something. I said Neil Cavuto, that was Stuart Varney. But that was May 9, when again the president of the League of American Workers, Steve Cortez, said, we're not going to be supporting Trump. That was then. This is now.
I don't relish having to come on and say on national television that I was wrong, but I was wrong. And I think it's important when the facts change that we be willing to change our minds. And clearly the American people have spoken overwhelmingly, both in polling and now in real live voting in Iowa, that they view, Republican voters view Donald Trump as the indisputable warrior leader of the America First movement. But the other thing that changed on the ground, Stuart, that none of us knew at that time in May when I spoke to you in New York. At that time, there was only one sham indictment from Alvin Bragg in New York State against Donald Trump. There were, of course, three more ridiculous such indictments to come. And as those indictments rolled along, as you well know, Republican voters rallied to Donald Trump, understandably so, realizing that he was being not just prosecuted politically, but he was being persecuted. As a sitting American president tried to remove his opponent from the field, tried to put his opponent in office, something that is unjust, it's unprecedented, and it's totally un-American. And I think that's a big part of what has been a driver of the America First movement, of voters around this country to President Trump's side. And so I believe now, Stuart, it's imperative that whichever candidate you supported in the primary, it's imperative now for our party, our movement, to unite and coalesce behind President Trump.
Wow, what a turnaround, huh? Next hour, Senator Tim Scott responds to leftists mocking him as a black man because he supports Trump. But first, what you do not want to hear. Our military is not ready to engage with an enemy. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer, Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed rate mortgages like that. They're all variable rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I was born in the rain on the Ponza train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane that come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her it takes a lot of water. Wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I told you a moment ago some frightening words as we went to break. Words you never want to hear, but are very clear and very in your face. And that is, our U.S. military is no longer prepared to face our worst enemies. And joining us to break it down, heritage military expert, defense expert, 20 years in the Marine Corps, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Semper Fi, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, it is always good to be with you. Thanks for having me on, Larry.
Well, there are a lot of things I want to go through, and if you don't mind, I'm going to lead you through certain points. I could just turn the show over to you. I know that. You're certainly capable of it. But I'm looking at some of the – let's begin with the fact – of what I just stated, our military isn't prepared to face our worst enemies. You add, we're at risk of being unable to defend all of our interests against foes such as China, Russia, Iran. That's based on your latest index of U.S. military strength.
Yeah, it's our 10th edition, so we've been doing this for a decade. And it's not an indictment of the individual, you know, man or woman serving in the military. We have absolutely great people. But when we call upon them to address an opponent, you know, if something goes sideways with Iran or we want to ride to the rescue of Taiwan versus China, something like that, do our people have enough equipment? You know, so is the force big enough? Is the equipment new enough, given the advances in technology and the need to replace stuff and fend against, you know, enemy missiles and those sorts of things? And are they able to train enough to actually be competent in the things that they would need to do in a combat environment? And the answer is bad across all three of those areas. We have half the military that we did just 30 years ago during the Cold War, you know, another period of global contest, right? Our people aren't training nearly enough. For example, an average Air Force pilot would fly more than 200 hours a year back then. Today, they're 120 hours or so, just once or twice a week up in the air. And the age of the equipment, most of the primary stuff is 30 and 40 years old. So the airplanes our pilots fly are older than the pilots actually flying them. And it's just tanks and artillery pieces and everything else. So it's old, it's small, and it's not ready. And we really feel that the U.S. military is in danger of not being able to prevail in a conflict if something like that should pop up.
And I was going to raise the issue about the pilots not having adequate training time and getting the time they need to be in control of the craft. But then, of course, behind them, you've got the mechanics and the systems available and the supplies. That's not built up as well as it should be.
Yeah, if you were making toothbrushes or tennis shoes, right, and the market was out there and nobody was buying your stuff, you just can't stay in business. So upwards of about a year ago, the U.S. military had not bought a Stinger missile, which is one of these missiles that shoots down enemy airplanes, had not bought a Stinger missile in 17 years.
Wow.
So if you make components for the missile, how do you stay in business if nobody is buying those parts, right? If we're not buying new airplanes, where does the parts manufacturer for light bulbs or tires or wiring harnesses, how do they actually stay in business? So the economic piece, it's called a monopsony instead of a monopoly, right? So you have one customer, U.S. government. If you have half the size of the military, it doesn't need to buy tanks and airplanes. And so all that industrial base isn't producing anything. So you can't maintain a workforce, your production line shut down, and it takes years to re-energize that. And that's the situation we're dealing with today.
And what about, again, I want to get back to the mechanic issue. And I'm not talking about building it when we have civilian contractors under government contracts. I'm talking about when they're on the flight line or they're on the carrier, and they've got to be taken care of as soon as they come in and make sure they're ready to go again.
You know, we got 3 out of 4 American youth, so 77%, I think, is the number, cannot join the military without a waiver due to obesity, physical or mental health problems, substance abuse, or criminal records. So when you go down to that smaller pool of young Americans, how many actually want to join the military, right? So that's problem number one. If you use the Navy as an example, half the number of ships, 292 today versus 590, back in the Cold War, and yet we keep the same number of ships out deployed. What that means is the crews and the ships work twice as much. So you're overworking the force. So when you combine those two things, very long hours, overworking the force, multiple deployments, and an increasingly smaller pool of Americans wanting to join the military, you can see how retaining the mechanics, right, and the maintainers and the electronic specialists, how retaining those becomes harder and harder.
Well, not just retaining.
Smallness and aging.
And not just retaining, but keeping them at their best and their ability to do the job flawlessly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, training is different than operating. So if the Navy ship is deployed all the time, you don't have the ability to try and educate and train on things that you would want to be able to do in a combat environment, right? If you don't have the dollars for parts, then you don't have the work for a maintainer to apply a part to an aircraft, meaning that you don't have ready aircraft, which means that the aircraft aren't there for the pilots to fly, right? So there are these chain reactions where long hours and then lack of work in some areas just don't motivate people to join and stay in.
I want to share a story with you, and I have to be limited on what I can say because I don't want to give away the source of the information totally. But there is a fighter jet pilot taking off, I believe it was an F-16, on the ground, taking, it might have been a 17, I think it was a 16. He's taking off, he's full thrust, and he cannot get the plane to rotate. Now, for the audience, we're talking about trying to actually get it off the ground to begin to lift the nose and get up. And so he's then trying to pull the power back, because he's running close to 180 knots down the runway at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes to pull it back, something breaks in it. He cannot retard the engine. He is on the runway at that speed. Yeah. His only option, hit eject. Yeah. He's only he goes up 150 feet, and the canopy is not going to fully open, and he falls. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to walk again. But they're still trying to find out how did that happen. And if that had been a wartime mission, some objective would not have been hit, plus you've got another plane you've lost, and a pilot is out of commission. Thank God he's okay.
$80 million aircraft, and if it combat, you would have had ordnance on board. So in addition to the loss of the plane, where there have been ordnance explosions and all that other stuff, right? So, you know, you see commercial airlines, unless it's Alaska Air, taking off and landing, you know, all the time, right? But these are very regular missions, they fly known routes, and there's not a lot of stresses. A military plane has a lot of pressures and stresses applied to it. It's just a different sort of animal.
And the pilot.
So when you hear numbers, and a pilot. So when you hear numbers like $20,000 or $30,000 per flight hour, that's not just the fuel, it's the man hours, you know, associated with maintaining that thing so that it can do what it needs to do in the worst possible circumstances. And it's just a cost of having a competent military, right? If you want to have secure borders and you want to keep wars far from our shores, you have to have the equipment available and you have to have the people who can actually do those sorts of things. And we have just dramatically underfunded, which is a scary thought, you know, $850 billion a year, but people just don't, they've been shielded from the true cost of military power in the world that exists. And so we're just not spending enough on our military.
All right, now remaining time, I'm going to zip through some of these things. Your report obviously concludes there are four reasons why we're not prepared to face our worst enemies. And the first report is reassessing China as the most comprehensive, daunting national security challenge.
They have doubled down on double-digit increases in defense spending for the last 10 years or so. They have one shipyard, one of their shipyards, produces more tonnage than all of our shipyards combined, indigenously designing and producing aircraft carriers, nuclear-powered submarines, and fifth generation, meaning the latest generation stealth fighters on their side. They have 360-plus ships in the water today. At best, we can do is put about 60 Navy ships in the water in that part of the world. So a 6-to-1 numerical advantage that doesn't even include militarized Coast Guard and fishing vessels, right, and all the land-based maritime power. So it is a daunting challenge thousands of miles from the U.S. where they're operating from home. So this time, distance, geography really matters.
There's another point I want to bring up, and partly because I want to praise, and you know where I'm going with this one, the aggregate score for America's major military branches, you rank as weak. Only the Marines have a positive score of strong. Hoorah! So what's the issue?
Yeah, parochial. Yeah. That's my service. Yeah. So I do say that the Marine Corps is too small, even for what they're wanting to do. The Corps says they're a one war force, you know, it's just small compared to the others. But even with that, if you want to do these distributed operations where you have lots of small units spread over an area, you're going to take combat losses. And so you need numbers to maintain a war effort. But with a size part aside, they are extremely focused and been very innovative in reorganizing, equipping, they're introducing new weapons, they have an almost entirely new air arm. So the Marines have got it, and they're making rapid progress in adapting to the changing world with technology and where you're going to operate and those sorts of things. The other service is problematic across the board.
Okay. In the last minute, I've got to focus on the prime issue that we need to worry about down the world.
Yeah.
Iran, a nuclear threshold.
60% is the level they've enriched uranium, and they have enough uranium enriched at that level that if they went to 90%, which only takes a few weeks, they could have a half dozen nuclear weapons. They've developed their missile launch program to the point where they can put satellites in space. They can threaten upwards of half of Europe, the largest missile inventory in the Middle East. They are dead set on becoming a nuclear power. When they get to that level, what will Israel do? Do they attack preemptively? Does the United States do that? So things can go very bad very quickly in the Middle East, and we just aren't positioned with either forces in the region or a sufficient number to deal with that.
Retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with Heritage Foundation, and thank you again very much for your expertise and service.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Wow. Now, should you sleep better at night? No, you shouldn't, but at least you're aware of it. Coming up, as the world turns around Fannie Mae Willis.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
People, keep on learning. Soldiers, keep on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, before we get to the world and love affair of Fanny and her lover down in Georgia, I want to reinforce on you something that I might have glossed over earlier, and that was reference what's going to happen with this issue about some kind of compromise between Senate, and House legislators, and of course, some that would involve Republicans on both sides who are weak-kneed when it comes to standing up for what we need. But the latest from Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, in a letter sent today to colleagues and the Senate legislation, saying the Senate legislation addressing the border and the aid to Ukraine and other countries would have been dead on arrival in the House if reports about the terms that we've heard are true. Now, this follows separate signals from House leadership aides and conservatives in the House and Senate that the supplemental package has no future in the House, even if approved by the Senate. Now, all this is coming from the Hill, but there are numerous publications reporting the same. And again, according to the letter sent to his colleagues, Speaker Johnson said, I want to provide a brief update regarding the supplemental and the border, since the Senate appears to be unable to reach any agreement. Stop it right there for a second. A third of the Senate is up for re-election, Ted Cruz being one of them, and we're told it's going to be a very tough election. I haven't looked closely enough at it, but I mean, how can you go against Ted Cruz, a man who wants to protect the border of Texas? But there will be some who would do it in Texas, that I understand. And we just talk about the primary, much less the general. But all members of the House are up for re-election, each and every one of them, every 2 years. I mean, that is one fly in the ointment that has always kind of bothered me. That and term limits. You're elected to the House of Congress. Whoopee, great. Where do you get in? Where's my office? How do I find my way to the Capitol building? All this and everything. You got it all settled. And then, well, I got to start raising money for my next election. It's less than 2 years away. And so then you win a second election. So now you've got another 2 years. So maybe now you can really focus on getting something done other than trying to find the bathroom and make sure that if it's transgender or not, if that's your concern. But some things should just be so obvious. You don't need a lot of thought process. You went in there knowing what your public wanted. And if you were elected by people that want a full open border, then you're probably going to vote that way. But, you know, there are times in elections, I should say, in politics, where even representatives, senators on the national level, all the way down to the local school level, they vote against what the constituents want, and they do it because, one, they think they know better, and they may well know better, and two, because they think something needs to be reined in that's going to be out of control. They each have their own reasoning. But the bottom line is 2 years, and then suddenly you got to turn around. 6 years is not a bad idea for the Senate, because they get to really go to work. It's considered the more esteemed body. But then you have to put a limit on how long folks are going to stay. 30 years in the U.S. Senate? Nah, that's too long. Mitch McConnell, are you listening to me? And others around him. Anyway, back to Speaker Johnson's letter that he sent over to the Senate. This comes as Senate Republicans still searching for an alternative plan how to get aid to Ukraine across the finish line. Why the hell are you worried about money for Ukraine until you first take care of Americans? And I address that to every single member of the House. Quit worrying about Ukraine until we first take care of Americans. I am concerned about Ukraine, and I'm willing to give some money. But look at what we were given. Where's it gone? Do we know what it went to? But on top of that, I'm more worried about securing our border at this point. And there are critics inside the GOP that don't like Ukraine either, being coupled with border talks. There's, according to the report of the Hill again, the coupling actually has made it more difficult for Ukraine support to move forward due to seemingly irretractable or intractable policy and political concerns related to the border. That's good. That's good. There should be concern about giving any more money there. Johnson's message about the bill as it's now proposed, it will be dead on arrival in the House if the Senate passes the bill that we're being given indications are going to have. Dead on arrival until the next election. And if we do not control the House, they will pass that by so fast, be like you trying to catch a fly in midair. All right. I want to get off my soapbox on that for now. For now. Let's go to the ever-changing world and love affair of Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. Wade is, of course, a special prosecutor, and they keep calling him an alleged paramour hired by her in the criminal case against Donald Trump. They both now have been subpoenaed. I love it. They both are going to have to go to a subpoena with Trump's attorneys questioning them about the affair. Now, look, there are a lot of things I will put alleged, supposedly, reportedly around. It's a proper ethical journalistic things to do. But if you really believe that this guy she hired on her own authority and is making sure he gets about $600,000 to be a special prosecutor in this case, investigator, who really has very little experience, and then he turns around and takes her on a Caribbean cruise or some kind of cruise, if you don't think there's a little something going on, come on. Yes, the stork still delivers babies, if you're in that mind mood, so be it. Anyway, Fannie Willis is going to be questioned, deposed, regarding allegations of inappropriate financial ties and the alleged affair. CNN reports it as an alleged affair. Looky, looky. CNN knows how to use words like allegation and attribution when they want to. One of Trump's co-defendants has claimed that Willis and Wade engaged in improper romantic relationship and she mishandled public money. And he was quoted by CNN as saying, I think the real issue here is not this relationship. I think it's more about the impropriety of having him on the team, having him present this to the grand jury, and the conflict of interest in the appearance of impropriety. Oh, I could be a lot more direct than that. I'll be very direct. The real issue here is the relationship. It is the money he's getting, with her authority only approving it, and it is not an appearance of impropriety. It is evidence of impropriety. Larry, do you have pictures on them? No, I don't. But now that you mention that, someone might come up with a few here and there. Do I really care about their sexual relationship? No. Except for the fact this is the woman that wanted to nail Donald Trump to the cross on false charges, a persecution, not a prosecution, and she thinks she is so far from being held accountable that she can set up this relationship with Wade. The day after he signed his contract with Willis, he filed for divorce from his wife. And he has since then paid for at least two plane trips for him and Willis, according to bank statements they got from the woman scorned. Oh, there is nothing worse in the world than a woman scorned and being the victim of a little event that she was against and is tearing and wrecking her life. I'm glad she's doing so. Breitbart News has previously reported that Floyd, the man hired with RICO cases, is extensive. They say Wade, they're talking about Wade is actually one of the attorneys representing, representing Trump. While his expertise is extensive, Wade's prior experience does not show any expertise relevant to the case against Wade, and therefore he should not even be paid as much as he's getting. But see, it's not just for him, it's for the two of them. Come on, Valentine's is coming up soon. You know, everybody's going to get hit in the heart by that arrow, maybe, or the butt. I'm sorry, I'm flashing back on a newlywed game as to the question that got answered using that word. I'll come back to earth here, never mind. Wade has made already $650,000 on this case. That includes a $6,000 payment his office billed Willis for 24 hours of work in a single day. Well, of course, he could claim it's not all for me. I guess under deposition, they're going to bring some people forward to show who was working 24 hours a day or can justify $6,000 every day. That's better than winning the lottery or sweepstakes people showing up at your house, right? All right, coming up here for you, a test. Now, I know I did not tell you to prepare for this. I'll take the blame if you're not fully prepared, okay? But it's test day. Teachers don't always tell you when you're going to get a test. So I'm springing a test on you. You better be ready because this is a tough test. I want you to hear President Joe Biden as he's talking, and he makes some remarks. And I got to tell you, this is not going to be easy, but when we continue, what the hell did he say?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes.
I had to use it. Shel Pontifus put that together. Pontifus put that together for Mike Ferguson and Gabe this morning on their show. What a great piece. He has been at one UAW plant, then he goes over to a beer maker that is getting something like a special bridge built for it so it's easier to transport product. And I don't know if he was sampling before he did it, but can you tell me what he said? I mean, I think I hear the word beer, I think. Does it say I had too much beer? It was, okay, I'm going to give you a second chance because I believe in second chances. We're going to try it one more time from the top.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes.
Okay, I think I got it better there, that it's easier to brew beer here since you're right next to the Great Lakes. Is that it? Well, hey, here's something else you should know. And this is a big change in the world. Since 1951, alcohol has been banned in Saudi Arabia. Well, they're changing that. They banned it, by the way, in 1951 because of someone, I was going to say like a Joe Biden. That's not fair. This guy might actually have a lot of credentials. I don't know. But he's a Saudi prince. He got drunk. And he shot somebody. Okay, that's a little bit over the line. So since then, they banned liquor in Saudi Arabia. But now they're allowing the first liquor store since that time to be open. It's a modest establishment adjacent to a supermarket in the diplomatic quarter of the capital city of Riyadh. It exclusively serves non-Muslim. Workers at the store have to ask customers for diplomatic identifications. They had to put their mobile phones inside of pouches while inside because they're worried that a mobile phone app would allow purchases on an allotment system. So now they're going to allow alcohol in the diplomatic quarter. All this intended to, quote, ensure that all diplomats of non-Muslim embassies have access to these special products and spirits with a certain quota. Alcohol is forbidden under Muslim law anyway, but they're going to go ahead and do it. We'll see how that turns out. Next hour, we're going to tell you about a new show coming that's going to follow our program. Remember our pledge, One Nation Under God.